Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And in the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what happened is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad, Cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
All right, welcome to DIY Housing TV. Now, for people who missed the announcement yesterday, over this past weekend, we changed the name. For 9 consecutive years, we were It's My House. Then I just got an enlightenment to change the name and simplify it so people wouldn't have to guess what It's My House is about. And I came up with DIY, do-it-yourself television, housing television. And our mission statement is just one sentence, and that's essentially teach people how to build their own off-the-grid house using social capital, period. That's our mission. And that was the underlying mission of It's My House, too. And I gave a little backstory on that yesterday. All right, so now today we have a guest on. We're going to have him on, might have two guests on, in a matter of minutes, and within about 3.5 minutes. So now what I want you to do during this three-minute break is I want you to go to our Facebook page, which is really the same Facebook page that we've had the whole time, just name change. Go on Facebook, go to DIY Housing TV. That's DIY Housing TV. That's our Facebook page. And in 3 minutes, then I'll instruct you on how to follow me on that particular page. So we'll be back in 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes to do that. Get a cup of coffee, get some juice, go to the bathroom, whatever you got to do. 3 minutes starting now.
And the ones who thought they made it. Listen to this. I want to talk to the short and the tall. This ain't no racial matter. This thing concerns us all. Do you know one thing?
Prices going up and out of sight.
Listen. Charging $3 a half a pound for pork chops. Man, that ain't right. And put this in your hat and smoke it.
The best of me.
Listen, do you know the only time I feel strange is when I'm looking at a cowboy picture on TV? And you listen to this, if you notice they're charging too much for a
black eyed and butter,
I can't even afford to put that back in my car. I went to the store the other day and had my basket stacked. Things cost so damn much, I had to throw it all back. How they look for a poor man to get ahead? Say they gonna charge $1.50 for a damn old loaf of bread.
You tell me that ain't crisis.
We got to do something about these
prices.
Yes, we.
You tell me that ain't inflation.
Lord, these prices about to drive me
crazy.
Listen, I think I'll write my congressman and my senator too. I'm gonna even call the press, see what can he do. If you go to the store today with $40, the people call you a drag. You can bring that little old food bag in two little old paper bags. Do you know that? Look here, have you dug the price of sugar,
flour and meal. Things like that'll make a poor man steal. And they tell you, don't worry about it. We're gonna look out for you. You got a chance. We'll make it up to you with food stamps. Get on up there. God bless you. The Abbey suit today.
Talk about prices.
I'll run you two in the water.
Talk about prices.
The way things are going up.
Talk about prices.
You're going to have to start paying for a drink of water.
Talk about prices.
$75 for a pair of shoes and $50 for a hat. That don't make no damn sense for things to be costing like that. Things is getting so tough, my dog is even scared to bear his bones. When he comes back to look for it, some poor joker done dug it up and carried it home. My cat can't find a rat in the attic, all of them packed up and left. He's sitting down eating onions and about to cry himself to death. Talking about prices and prices, y'all.
Prices and prices.
I'm talking about prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
They got to bring them down so we can survive.
Prices and prices.
Do you remember the fuel prices?
Prices and prices.
I used to get in every line I saw. So I could get
prices,
my shit. Daylight broke on me one day and I was headed
prices,
for the cemetery. I said, hold it, y'all. I ain't
prices,
going for that.
Prices,
you should have seen me making a U-turn with my
prices,
Cadillac
prices,
and started saying, prices and prices.
Prices and prices.
Bring them down.
Prices and prices.
All right, that song was released. It was released somewhere in the 70s, but you got Prices and Crisis right here in 2023. All right, today's podcast is titled, we got a guest or two, Poverty Line Housing, and I'll explain what that is momentarily before we go to a guest. Poverty Line Housing and Social Capital Finance. On Blog Talk Radio, in our scrolling marquee, we've got some program notes, which I'll go on explain just right before we go to the guest. But before we go to the guest, okay, as I mentioned before the break, if you go to our Facebook page, which is It's My House, excuse me, not It's My House, which is DIY Housing, DIY Housing. That's our Facebook page. Okay, DIY Housing TV, which stands for Do-It-Yourself Housing Television. And then as you scroll down, once you get to that page, okay, now you're going to see there's a series of 15 pictures. But one of the pictures says Poverty Line Housing. I want you to click on that. Just gonna, and let's go picture by picture. Okay. I'm sort of like giving my partial resume on this. All right. Now, of course, the first one says Poverty Line Housing. All right. Then you see a guy who is hammering a nail onto a piece of or a board. That's me. And scroll down to the next picture. That's me again. I lost 55 pounds since then. Not that I'm fat, but then. But I'm just saying that I lost 50. That well, 50 of it stayed off. Then, let's see. Next picture down. That's me again. Now the people that, because we're building a structure here. And this is all part of social capital finance, which I'll explain in a moment. Now, these pictures were taken in Ohio, okay, and we were building a cottage. Matter of fact, we were building this before the term tiny house was in the world's vocabulary. Next picture, after that, you see an aerial picture of a plot of land. That's a 4-acre plot of land, and that's here in Florida, in Hamilton County, Florida, and we call it Earth Wealth Forest. It's a little tiny forest of only 4 acres, but That's what we call an earthworm force. That's an aerial picture. Now, the next picture under that, all right, which I took the next series of pictures. This is the road that leads to that piece of land that you just saw from an aerial view. And then we're still at the location. That's that picture. Then scrolling below that, you'll see another on-the-ground picture. Now, within this 4 acres of what we call Earth Wealth Forest, within that, we'll take a half acre or maybe a whole acre and call that Earth Wealth E-Village. And Earth Wealth E-Village stands for Earth Wealth Energy Village. Because there's a lot of earth wealth, and earth wealth are the trees you see, the ground. Below the ground, there's groundwater, there's sunlight, there's daylight. So that's why we call it earth wealth. And then we take the energy of the earth to power our homes that we'll be teaching people how to build. All right, scrolling below that, you'll see more. You know, these are just natural. I don't plan on cutting down any trees. We'll just use, you know, the open spaces that are naturally there. All right, then scroll down all these pictures I took. I didn't take the aerial ones. Then you scroll down, and there's another aerial picture from higher up. All right, then as you scroll down, you'll see a house. I guess you can call it a tiny house. It's 144 square feet. I purchased it for $1,000 before the pandemic. And the painting, this is an after picture. It didn't look like this when I bought it. But Viola Robinson, she did all the, you know, put color into it. But that's a 144 square foot house that I purchased for $1,000. And that brings us to, hold on, what else do I have on here? All right. Okay. Oh, okay. Now, below that one, we're back in Ohio. And, oh, this house was taken, this is in Florida, but not on the 4 acres that we previously just showed you. All right. Now, below that picture, you see a picture of the structure that we built up in Ohio using social capital. And social capital is basically family and friends getting together to build something. It doesn't have to be a cottage or anything like that. And then we use Earthship principles. What's Earthship? Basically, Earthships are basically housing that you build using stuff that people threw away. So that, you know, the foundation of this is called the Mayapple. This is what this little cottage is called, the Mayapple. It's the foundations are basically, we took tires that people threw away that, you know, blown out. They were no good. And we rammed them with earth and built the foundation instead of pouring concrete. But that's that picture where we're almost done with it to completion. Then we scroll down under that one, and you see a picture of this guy on top of a roof holding the solar panel, and the solar panel is on top of, that's me again. Enlightened Landlord Promotes Renewables. That was in a picture, I was like taken in, 2010, 2011, somewhere around there. And so I got a photovoltaic that I'm holding up, also known as a solar panel. And that's on top of a solar hot water heater. And this is where I'm at physically right now. I'm at that location right now. But that's me again. And then, wait a minute, I keep on pressing the wrong buttons here. All right, scrolling down below that, all right, you see a picture, I don't know, it's what, 12, 13, I was here. It's, here are people involved that helped put together. That week, we spent 7 weeks together. All right, 7 weeks of social capital. 7 weeks together, we had lunch every day together. And we did that from scratch. We did that cabin that we're under, or cottage that we are, whatever you want to call it. We also built an addition onto a barn just using pallet wood. Then we visited somebody else's 5-acre place where they had built a place of their own. And then we built, visited another family guy out of the service. He and his young family, I think his wife, they had two kids and another one in the oven. And they purchased like 44 acres. That's in Ohio, too. And I'm the tallest one in the picture with the green shirt. Oh, but this is a social capital unit. And that's part of the title today, social capital finance, because to get these structures built, everything that we built that week, oh, and then we did another project where we finished it off, you know, the roof and things like that. So instead of, you know, using the banks or any kind of government programs or any type of social services, when people get together, you know, I think that's the best type of financing. All right. Wait a minute. I'm not done with that yet. Let me go back to the page. Now, let's get to the poverty line. Because we scroll down under that picture. Okay. I got some statistics here. Or then we see poverty line housing. And then scroll under that. Scroll till you see, this is a chart. Well, not a chart, but some statistics. It says 2023 poverty guidelines for the 48 contiguous states in the District of Columbia. So on here, if you're a one-person household, the poverty guideline is, you know, $14,580 and below. That's considered the poverty guideline in the continental United States. If you have two people in your household, $19,720. Three people, $24,860. Then it goes on, you got four. Person household, five persons, up to seven persons. All right. Now, for me personally, I don't like to go anywhere above 24,806, actually 25,000, but on here it's just 24,860. So when I talk about property line housing, I'm talking about if you got a household of three, the price of your house that you pay should be no more than $24,000. I'm going to say $25,000, round it up, $25,000. That's it. Some people that listen to this podcast, you pay more than that rent here. All right. Now, we go down to the next chart, which is property line for Alaska, and you'll see the numbers there. Of course, Alaska, it costs a little bit more money to live there. If you're a household of one, the poverty guideline is $18,210 or less. Two-person household, $24,640. It goes on to eight people. All right. And then the last one is the poverty guidelines for Hawaii. And for one person, $16,770. And for two people, $22,680 goes up to eight people. The poverty line is $58,140 or less for a household. All right. Now, AACON the singer or rapper or entertainer, he's got a rule that I go by as well. And he basically says, if he doesn't have 10 times the amount of the house that he wants to purchase, liquid, he doesn't buy it. So what does that mean? If he's buying a house that costs $100,000, he needs to have $1 million sitting in the bank liquid. Because with that ratio, he'll be able to afford the house. He'll afford the payments. If somebody gets sick, he can't work, he can afford payments. Because he's got, 10 times that liquid in the bank. You know, if a pandemic comes through again, he's got it. Or anything that life brings you, emergencies or whatever, he's got it. Now, most people, well, then again, what's most people? So that's what I'm talking about. So what I go by, because if you don't have that, and that's why a lot of people get, a lot of homeless people, they don't live by that rule. That house that I showed you, that picture that I bought for $1,000, okay, at the time I got that, I didn't even have $10,000 in the bank. But I had $1,000 cash, so I took the $1,000 and bought that. No mortgage payments, no rent. And then something did happen because that house was not on any land that I owned. So one of the lessons I learned is, if at all possible, do not buy and put a structure on somebody else's land. Do not build on somebody else's land if you can, unless you already have an exit strategy in advance. The best thing to do, if you can do it, is build on your own land first, last, and in between. Unless, like I said, going in, you have an exit strategy. Okay. So, all right. Now, with all that said, let's go to the phone lines here. And 619-768-2945, press 1 if you want to comment or contribute. All right, so I'm going to shut my mouth and go to the phone lines here. Oh, and let me read the program notes real quick, because this is going to set the tone. We're going to be all this week for the best today and until Friday, because I'm going to tell you which way we're heading. You can see if you want to roll with us with it. And this is on our program notes on Blog Talk Radio online, and our scrolling marquee. All right, poverty line. We went through that. Poverty line housing. Housing that anybody can afford. I believe if you get a group of people together and build based on your budget using social capital, you can come out with a house that you can afford. But if you got to go to Wells Fargo, Bank of America, you got to go to FHA, you got to go to VA, you have to use some type of government program, you got to go to a credit union, you're getting into something that you can't afford. Typically when you go to McDonald's or Bob Evans to buy a pancake breakfast, or the IHOP to buy a pancake breakfast, you have the cash or the credit or the debit card. You have the money. You didn't have to borrow money to get that Big Mac. Use that same type of thinking when it comes to housing. It can be done. Now, granted, you're not going to get a mansion in Beverly Hills like that unless you have it liquid, and maybe you will one day. All right. some of the things we're going to get to later in this podcast, then we're going to talk about daily and weekly goals, because we're going to be talking about how we can build, how you, whoever you are, how you with your friends and family, if you don't have any friends or family, but show you how to get them, brand new ones, and how you can build these tiny houses, because these houses, they don't have to be tiny, by the way. We're going to help how to build a house in a minute, how to build a house in 1 hour, how to build a house in 4 hours. All right. We're going to talk about sold out in 24 hours. Now, this is the money part of this, because that's, we can't get everything in, into one podcast today. During the week, and you know what? The easiest thing to do is sell something once you have it built or it's in the process of built, being built. So we're going to talk about how to sell, how to make, earn money in 24 hours using the house that you built. And then we're going to follow some YouTubers. I'm going to throw out some names of some YouTubers, some Instagrammers. These are people that you can study, and they make a whole bunch of money in a matter of anywhere from minutes to an hour. And I'm going to throw out those names now, then I'll go to the phone lines. China Mac. China Mac is a Chinese-American rapper, and occasionally he does live streams on YouTube where he sells his merchandise. He sells his baseball hat and sweatshirts and T-shirts and sweatpants, and he'll do a live stream. And you see him. He's got one bedroom in his house dedicated. That's his little warehouse with inside of his home. And you see he's got the stocked inventory. And he takes orders right there. And then he tells you, I'm going to mail them tonight or tomorrow morning. And then sometimes he surprises people with orders, and he'll hand deliver it to their homes. So that's China Matt. We got to look at him. There's one, Viya. Her name is spelled V-I-Y-A. Viya is a Chinese lady. And she's one of the biggest influence sellers on the planet. She sold over $200 million worth of merchandise in a day using smartphones. That's it. We'll talk about Austin Lai. That's L-I. He's also Chinese. He sells lipstick. He sold over $200 million. I know he made millions within 15 minutes just with his smartphone. Okay. We'll talk about Ron Popeil. We'll talk about Randy Jones. Randy Jones. And we're about to open up the mic for Chris Collins. Randy Jones last week sold 41 tiny houses. To be accurate, he sold 41. He took in 41 orders and took in 41 deposits. And we're talking about the houses was selling for $19,000 to $25,000. Let's take it on the low end. What's 19,000 times 19,000 times 41? Oh, wait a minute. He did in one day $779,000 in a day selling tiny houses. And they're not even built yet. All right, but he took deposits of $10,000 on those. So, anyway, with all that said, so we'll come back to all that in a few minutes. Like I said, we got one or two guests calling in. Of course, anybody can call in as well. And let's go to the phone lines here. 309 area codes. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I've been on the job site here this morning, and the guys just showed up, so I'm going to go out to the truck for a minute. But I am definitely here, and I was excited to listen to everything you had to say. And I am definitely to have
Chris, you there. Repeat that, Chris, because you went out for a moment.
I was trying to get outside this house. I'm working out in the country, helping work on a 110-year-old home.
Okay.
But I'm definitely excited to be here and see what people are interested in knowing that they can have and maybe even help them get the material to have it or even help them build it.
And that's what we'll be doing here this week. We're organizing this week. So, like I say, if you go to our Facebook page, I'll put out a partial resume of what I've done with this. And we're talking about putting together structures that can be, if you have a plan and you have a team, they don't have to be an experienced team. But if you have a plan and you can have a team, you can have that, you can teach that team on essentially how to build from scratch something in a map. Let's say at first it might take you 3 or 4 hours. But then after you've got that down, then your collapse time can drop to like 1 hour. And then if you get a few more people in the equation, you can put something together in a matter of, let's say, 15 minutes to 30 minutes. And what we'll be doing, and the people that I named earlier, the Austin Lee, Austin Lai out of China, Vaya, who's a top influencer in China. Now, in America, United States, I mentioned China Mac, and then there's another young lady. Her name is Angela Jasmina. Angela Jasmina is I think she's Dominican, but she lives in the state of Maryland. She's a seamstress, and she's pregnant with a third child. And if you go to their Facebook page, I think it's Angela Jasmina. She's a seamstress, and I've watched her for the last 2 years. And she's gone from selling clothes, because she makes children's clothes. She's gone from selling clothes that she sold at home and selling them at a farmer's market to doing live stream sales in her home. She's moved to 2 houses since I've known about her. And the reason why she's moved twice is not so much because she has a growing family. It's because she makes over $1 million a year. Her and her husband, and they have some family help, once again, social capital, but they do over $1 million a year out of the basement of their home. And she'll do a live stream, and you actually see her taking an order and making an order online, and then the next day or two you see her husband and her. They go to the post office, UPS, or whatever, and they send out, ship out the order. So that's what we'll be doing. Because some person asked me yesterday, do I have a website? No, I don't. And this is my personal thing on websites, to each his own, you know, depending on what kind of business you have, they can be used. But where I see where the ball is and where the ball is continually going is if you do a live stream of a demonstration or whatever you have to market or sell, if you have a live interactive stream, like a lot of YouTubers do these days, a lot of Instagrammers do these days, and that's how Vaya and Austin Lee, I mean, each one of them, on November the 11th, they do about $200 million in gross sales. Now, that's each. That's just two people. Over $400 million for what's just two people. They sell everything from lipstick, cars, to rocket launchers, to houses, to fruits and vegetables, all using smartphones. That's where the ball is going. So what we'll be doing is essentially when we build, we'll be building live. We'll be teaching people how to build live through our Facebook page and any other, you know, Instagram or whatever, Facebook Live, you know, whatever other social media platforms. That's where the ball is going. I call it live websites. Now, you can have a website and do a live stream from that because it's only limited to your imagination what you can do with websites, but that's where the ball is going. So we're going to be studying and modeling, because put it this way, if it works for Angela Jasmina, she's pregnant with a third child now. If it worked for China Mack, if it worked for Vaya, if it worked for Austin Lai, it can work for you. I used to do eBay sales, and I got together with three of us. No, one, two, three. Me, Angela. It was a solo three of us. Three of us, we did $20,000 in a week doing eBay auctions. I'm going back to that. And we'll include that in this too. But back then, everybody didn't have smartphones. So, all right, Chris, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. What's her name? Not Awesome Alice. Miss Hershey, was it?
Yeah, Miss Hershey.
Now she's interested in doing tiny houses, right?
Yes. She's working with me on the sales, and she's on the ground there in your area. Now I think the guy that's on the phone, he is actually starting to clear property today. And that could be something where social capital jumps in, because we need some volunteers on this project.
All right. Okay. Now, let's, if anybody, what's his area code, Chris?
Hang on 1 second. 410.
Okay. 410. Well, we got a couple of those on there. Just press 1 and then we can patch you in to 410. What's the first 3 digits after that? After 410.
After 410 is 970.
Oh no, we got a different 410. No, he's that. But, all right,
he might be on a call back.
Oh, okay. Well,
he did tell me he was in, so.
Okay, well, patch him 410. If you're the one that is associated with Chris Collins, just press 1, and we'll open up your mic and get you in the conversation. Now, Chris, let's talk about the structure that you're talking about, which will be made from metal.
Metal framing. It's the same as it. Yeah, the material dimensions is the same as wood, an inch and a half by 3.5, or a 2-inch stud that's an inch and a half with a face on it. So everything is basically the same dimensions as wood. So 2x6, 2x8. They're not actually 2x6 and 2x8. They, you know, you got a 2x4 that's an inch and a half. So it's not 2, then it's 3.5, and it's not 4. Now, when you add the sheetrock to it, it brings it out to 4. And when you put whatever stuff you're going to do on the outside of it, that normally gives you a 4.5-inch jam. And it's the same framing as any conventional wood-built home, except for this material won't burn. Won't absorb water, stronger, termite-free, mold-resistant, seismic, recyclable, build it without a dumpster, build it cheaper than wood, and get a 60% discount on insurance versus a wooden home. It weighs half the weight of wood, but it's twice as strong. We can ship twice the material on the same truck, and we cut everything to length. So you get a kit. It can either be panelized for you, or you can panelize it. You can build it right. It's very versatile. You can adapt it to any existing structures or build new. So you have multiple options. It exceeds every building code in the IRC, that is the International Residential Code Book, because this material is for commercial use, because it's better. And okay. Right now, you know, our commercial workers, they're losing 85% of them to retirement, and we need some kind of boost to get our youth interested in the revitalization of America and get them, you know, where they can make a $60 an hour job, you know, not struggle, have great benefits. You know, we need that stuff. But let's change the narrative of building with something that burns, something you cannot recycle. You can totally recycle this house 1,000 times, or it'll last 1,000-plus years, and that's time to where it shows our children that they can do something positive in the afternoon in your community and show the adults that doing something fun will last forever, but you can always see it. You know, it's time to put pride into things. People need to be okay. proud of the home they live in, and they need to be proud of what they do during the day, because everybody gets to make those choices. But when they don't know that they have a choice, that's where we're all slacking a little and not sharing information. So that's why I'm glad that we're doing this.
Okay. Now, let's take a dimension of, let's say, 200 square foot, a 200 square foot house, more structure, I'll put it that way. With a team of, six or seven people, how long would it take to assemble just a basic assembly of one of these structures?
Roughly about 4 hours.
Leaving off the bells and whistles with no solar panels on it, nothing like that, just a basic structure.
Well, they should be able to build the walls, build the trusses, and stand it up in about 4 hours. Maybe possibly even have it sheeted in, so that way it can be roofed or sided and done whatever. It depends on their abilities. They could be able to do it quicker. I know that a 100 square foot structure, two kids that never built anything, framed it in 2.5 hours in a parking lot. They didn't erect it, but they did put the frame together. And
okay.
It starts by building the walls.
All right. There's trying to see, there's a few videos on YouTube where the people assembled something in like 28 minutes. But they might have had a team of probably at best maybe 10 people. But it was, let me put ask you this question. Let's say you're just doing the frame. Um, How long do you think it would take? Could have stepped out again. Okay, I think Chris stepped away for a moment. He's on a job site doing stuff. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, for some reason, Block Talk kicked me off.
Okay, yeah, now we can hear you. Now we can hear you.
Okay, Block Talk kicked me off, so I had to come back in. If they were building, just the frame, four guys, hour and a half, they should have the frame up. And that's why I said, you know, within that 4 hours they could possibly have it sheeted by standing it up and getting it sheeted.
Yeah, you're talking about going from scratch. Now, what if all they had to do, let's say you shipped a kit, and then all they would have to do is assemble the kit.
If I ship them a kit and all the walls were panelized and the trusses were already built, you're basically
right.
As quick as you can pick a wall up and attach the next wall to it. It's an ABC 1-2-3 way of construction. And for every stud that is on the wall that the trusses are running on, the truss sits directly on the stud. So they're already marked. All you do is attach them, brace them, and start sheeting. If that was the case, guaranteed, you know, an hour, the four of them should be able to have it standing up and ready to be closed in.
Right. And see, that's the process I want to capture during doing live streams. Because one thing about Americans or Western society, and as generally speaking, they want things done as soon as possible. So like I said, if it's something that can be put together, let's say with an hour or so, but then you just said it, with four people, and they actually see that process while we're doing the live stream. And then at the same time, we can take orders. You know, anybody else who would like to, you know, take orders like they do with QVC and all these other people. Like I say, Randy Jones sold, he took in 41 deposits of $10,000 each. And nothing's built yet. But he's very credible, though. He's very credible. Because he builds, they're out there building in Tennessee, East Tennessee, practically. He might be going 7 days a week. I know he was going 7 days a week at it. But he does live streams on YouTube every day at his factory. So you see, you actually see them building tiny houses. So I'm looking at, all right, we can do, essentially, there's no sense in reinventing the wheel. Just do the same thing. Do a live stream of the... And with this, it can be two ways. People can actually see the building process, and that's the building of the walls, the floors, the roofs, and all that, and then the component parts. And then the assembly is something different. The assembly is the easier part. I'll give an example. Like in Detroit, you know, Ford, Chrysler, GM, those are assembly plants. The parts are manufactured somewhere else. But they ship it to Detroit, and they assemble the parts, and they do a test drive, and they ship it off to dealers, and the dealers deal with the general public, so to speak. So, What's that?
I said, and that's what Randy's doing. And, he started last April. You know, he's coming on to his one-year anniversary here. And... to be wanting to start a second shift, you know, moving from three houses a day to five houses a day because everyone getting better at what they were doing, employing 70 people, you know, this is what America needs. It's what the world needs. And
yeah, he
knocks out, like you said,
he knocks out about 3 to 5 houses a day.
Yeah, every day, ready to move into.
Right, ready to move from scratch. And you see people, I mean, he's got a, out of the 7-day week, I know he's on 5 days a week where you can actually see people actually building the houses or you know, now they're doing communities now. But I figured we may as well. I mean, like I say, there's no sense in reinventing the wheel. But the common denominator I'm noticing with people like him is they're doing it with a lot. They're using their smartphones so people can actually see something being done. And then those people buy, and I mean, they're buying from all over the country. He's got people from the West Coast coming to Tennessee. And then he's got some people who, wherever they're from, he's got a development. He's got a community right there in Tennessee, and like I say, he just sold out, I think last week or within the last 2 weeks, 4 hours or less. He sold, you know, took deposits. And I think they had a total of, he might have sold out the whole thing by now. But 41, he took 41 orders of $10,000 a piece. So, Chris, let's get to the cost. Now, because we're dealing with, if we're dealing with metal, the buildings that you're talking about, which the primary building material is metal, something like 100 square feet or 200 square feet, what's this a ballpark figure that a person would need? And then also, is there any financing
well,
available?
There is some financing opportunities. one of the things is you can go bare minimum. Bare minimum is roughly around $150 a square foot. That gives you everything that you need, and it'll give you a little bit of labor costs so you can bring in some electricians. And this is on tiny house situations.
Right.
You can actually get the package cheaper by doing a bigger home. More square footage you do, the cheaper it gets, because you wind up with open spaces where you're not utilizing all the different materials, and it changes the square footage. But when you're doing a tiny home, you want to know that you got to have a budget between $150 and $250 a square foot. It just depends on what you want in it, what kind of siding you want on it, what windows you want in it. You know, each of those materials, if you don't go in and buy the cheapest stuff in the lumber yard, then of course you know your square footage is going up. But if you looked at a ballpark, you know, if you were at a 200 square foot home and the frame itself, say you have $40 a square foot in it. Now, if you spent $3 a square foot for your flooring, now you didn't go necessarily the cheapest, then, you know, it brings it up to the 43. And the siding, you're going to figure at least $10 a square or $20 a foot. 100-foot square is going to cost you $200. Or, yeah, 10-foot by 10-foot square is 100 square feet. That costs $200 for siding or roof. So when you just figure what your exterior footage is, then you have to see what that number is and add it to that square footage to the inside. But even if you add it on $10 a square foot, or $20 a square foot to that, you're more than covering the exterior of your home. Then it comes down to how much do you spend on your windows. The size of the window matters on the price. Buying something off the shelf makes a difference of special ordering. But people want uniqueness, and there's nothing wrong with that. So you can design anything you want. Roughly $500 We'll give you a blueprint of any kind of design you want to have designed. We'll take your ideas and turn them into visuals for you. And that's for tiny house situations. If you're wanting something bigger than, you know, 300 square feet or 400, 500 square feet, then of course that price does change a little. It goes up to about 750 to 1,000. But that's, you know, there is a design fee when it comes into these things because we want them to meet and exceed whatever they're needing to.
All right. Let me see. Press one, anybody, if you got a question asked. I think somebody had their hand up, but then I hit. I think, man, my board's tripping here. So if you just press one, press it again so we know that you want to get in. All right, so, Chris, I'm going to recommend now, all right, we're going to start doing what I call nine friend events where we're going to be building these structures. So I've got one location where I'm at here in Lakeland, and then another location about 3 hours away in Hamilton County, so which I showed you pictures of on the DYI housing page on here on YouTube. I mean, not YouTube, but Facebook. And to announce again, It's My House. Now, that's the name that we had gone by for the last nine consecutive years this past week. And I changed the name, simplifying the concept so people pick it up easier, to we're now, particularly if you're on Blog Talk Radio, we're now, our brand name is across all social media, is DIY Housing TV. Do-it-yourself Housing TV. And the backstory on that is dealt with the squatter that she had a dad, her father was a contractor, and her brother-in-law was a contractor. And my mother recommended to her, through me, because my mother, she never spoke to her, said, well, why don't you tell her, have her dad and her brother-in-law build her a house? And then after she's got the house built, they can have a business, you know. Well, I shared that bit of information and got cussed out. Now, she was on her way to a shelter. So this person had burnt bridges with her brother and sister-in-law, brother-in-law and sister. She couldn't go to another sister's home. She couldn't go to her mother's house with the grandchild as well, and couldn't go to her dad's house or uncle. That's five people. She had no friends. She was headed towards the shelter. She had no, she was socially bankrupt. So essentially, thus, the name change, DIY, Do-It-Yourself Housing TV, where we, and the mission statement is showing people or teaching people how to build their own off-the-grid house. When I say off-the-grid, that's code for a house that has no utility bills, but you still have power. You still have electric, water, and all that. Using social capital. You're not dealing with any banks, finance companies, or any government programs. All right, we got another caller here, 410 area code. Your mic is open.
Hey, I want to say thank you so much, sir, first of all. I'm going to definitely make a Facebook analog what you just did today, what you presented, because we've been doing this. We've been doing this, and it's time to show the world that through all of the years of struggle and a pain to get things done and bringing people together, it can be done. It definitely can be done. So I'm so excited about that.
What neck of the woods are you in?
I'm in Orlando.
You're about 45 minutes away from me.
Yeah. Really? Oh, so that means we need to meet today. We're going to meet today. So you can see I'm actually clearing out land right now. I'm about to go clear out land at a church. 3 acres of land in the back, 2 acres in the front. It's on a major highway or Silver Star and Apocalypse Road. And then my office is on Silver Star and Hiawassee Road, half a mile away. So I'm going to manufacture the houses here, put them on the front, on that main place where the J-Max is, and bring people together.
All right, you're in Orange County.
I'm sorry, say it again?
You're in Orange County?
I'm in Orange County, yes.
Okay, all right. All right, and you got all right, so you're clearing out what you said, a 3-acre plot of land?
Yes.
All right, and
we're going to bring the containers and make models.
Oh, all right, so you're going to be bringing a shipping container home?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We're going to make models of shipping containers, and we're going to put them in the front on a 4-lane highway, Hiawassee and Silver Star.
All right. Okay.
So that way we can unite people together.
That's quite a bit of land. Now, 3 acres is quite a bit of land because an acre is about the size of a football field. So now, how many shipping containers will go there, or whatever that point is?
The goal is just to bring 5, but we're starting off 2 at a time. So within a week, 2 weeks, 2 containers should be on land while we're cutting them open, cutting the windows and the doors.
Okay.
Within 2 weeks.
Now, give me your name, sir.
My name is Anthony Whitfield with Reaching Our Destiny. And I definitely work directly with Mr. Chris. That is a powerful man right there.
Okay, Anthony.
That is a powerful man.
Whitfield, okay. Now, you mentioned something about a church.
Yes, Silver Star Community Church, Christian Church. It's on the corner of Silver Star and Apocalypse Road. Church with the big white cross.
Okay.
I think that's, 2620?
All right, and then, wait a minute now. Yo, give me the name of the organization. You're in the organization again because I'm putting stuff in my phone.
It's Reaching Our Destiny.
Reaching Our Destiny. Now, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, let's do this. I can do it in 2 seconds. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you so much for everybody for listening to me. Born and raised. My grandfather is a presiding bishop of the Wear the Crosses. So we used to go to church to church. So I was able to travel as a young kid with my grandfather. He's 100 years old now, still living in Baltimore, and actually still preaching. But when I used to travel as a kid, I used to wonder why my hood is so messed up and these other hoods so nice. So as a child, I grew up with that philosophy. Why is this? Why do when I leave the hood, it looks nice? So I've always had that in me. I'm a 15-year veteran in the Air Force. So while I was in the desert, we used to use shipping containers. I had a bright idea one day to take the shipping container and put an HVAC hose into it and blow cool air in there. That's what we did. I was in the engineering department, so I had all the tools with me. We put a fake window in the door, had the ventilation. It was the chill spot throughout our whole desert experience. In war, it was the best times in that room. We got in trouble a couple of times, but it was the best times in that. So I always had that vision that when I come home, I'm going to build container houses to be able to bless many people that needs a house, that need help. You know, homeless is not just because you just on drugs or you messed up. Homeless can happen to any of us at a press of a button. It can happen. Sir, I know you just bought this house, but you don't own this house. We need you to vacate right away. What do you do? It happens daily. We have solutions by utilizing real products, still utilizing a machinery that can build all the structures that we need. Our main focus right now here in Orlando, Florida, is to be able to put models up. And people come in, they buy. We use that money to be able to buy other products, more models. People are going to stop with land. People are going to stop with land and money. People are going to stop that's renting right now and say, hey, I just need a place to stay. I have this.
Right.
I'm already working. I got a good job, but I'm renting. Why am I renting when I can own? The program is called Why Rent.
Oh, hold on now. You done got my attention on that. All right. Now, break that down. Why rent?
Oh, okay. All right. Because of the COVID, right now you cannot find a place to live, a nice place to live, under $1,500. Two bedrooms, two baths. Here in Orlando, in Baltimore, in Chicago, in the hood, especially Miami. You can't find it. Prices shot up because they lost so much money during the COVID, and the law allowed it to happen. So all of those houses, other people are staying in those houses or staying vacant. Our goal is to say, why are you renting when you can actually own? Well, I can't afford a house. My credit score is 500, even though I work all my life. I've always paid rent. That is because we don't work together. This program that we're talking about, the funding from other sales provides you to own your own house. So that means what? We are the banker. So being the banker, we can bless a whole lot more people than going to the traditional banks. Exactly what you were talking about. Exactly what you're talking about. If we learn how to work self-economics in our communities, we can do it.
Right.
Best
right. And like I said, that's why I pointed people at the beginning of this podcast some pictures where I'm in the picture. And then you see me actually help build something. And then you see on one particular project, the Social Capital Group that I was with, I spent 7 days with them. And like I said, we built one cottage, finished off another cottage, and built an addition on a barn on a farm. Then visited two other people. But
I will.
Right.
I will definitely give you a full collage of what we just did last month in Miami, Florida, with the same group of young people. We built a nice house in the back, 640 square feet, in a weekend. And I have full footage and everything of it from start to finish. They come in boxes. They're not as strong as I want them to be.
Me, you, and Chris, we can powwow. Well, like I said, we're doing this week on this live stream, because Chris will be on every day, today's season. So every day this week, and what we're doing during the live stream and then after hours is basically planning where we can, like you just said, take a weekend and then build something. Or, depending on who we're dealing with, you know, if they got time during the week, we can build during the week too.
Brother, it would just be a blessing, because everything that I do by myself, and maybe one other helper. And I take sections out and I do certain things. I would love for you, if you're able today, to just stop by. I'll send you the address. You should have the address already. My office right up the street. Let's start now. And once we get off the broadcast, you know, right now my office in the morning time is the ocean, is the lake. So I sit on the lake every morning, meditate, make my phone calls, everything. And then after this, 12:30, I go in the field and I start doing what I need to do.
You know, speaking about on the lake, I just had a guest.
I'm sitting on the water.
All right, hold on, Anthony. Hold on, man. We got another caller here. Area code 407. Your mic is open.
Okay, this is Viata with Health and Wellbeing. I'm definitely interested in meeting up with this man. I didn't get his name. I live in Orlando.
Anthony Whitfield.
Anthony what?
Whitfield.
How do you spell that?
W-H-I-T-F-I-E-L-D.
Okay,
My direct number is 410-970-3031.
3031. Okay. I would love to meet you and then join with
today?
You in...
Today? Tomorrow?
Yeah, I could meet you today.
Excellent. I am at the JMAX Market. If not there, I am at the land, which is a half a block down the street where we're manufacturing everything. I would love to meet with y'all today.
Okay.
And Viata, for those who don't know, I mean, I don't know, but other people don't know, give us your background experience with dealing with tiny houses.
Back in, 2015, I bought my first tiny house on wheels, 160 square feet after a divorce and figuring out where I was going to live. And so I lived in Umatilla, Mount Dora area for 5 years in my tiny house. So I sold that in 2022, because the place where I had moved to was selling it. And so I sold my tiny house, and I renovated a shed in my son's backyard. This was an empty shell of a shed, and it's 320 square feet. And so then recently I was in Costa Rica, where my friend and her son took two shipping containers 2 years ago. They had two shipping containers moved to Costa Rica, and he built a Airbnb retreat place. So 2 years later, I just visited there last month, and so I'm all on board with what your plans are, what you're doing, is that there is definitely a way to improve people's living conditions by thinking tiny, thinking minimalist, and that's what I do. I do two blog talk shows, and I'm always promoting minimalism. And that's the key. What I want to hook up with you, Anthony, is to help educate people about the benefits of being a minimalist, the benefits of being in a small house. Like, you've already shared the financial rewards and the peace, the emotional rewards by having your own place. So I'm wondering, where is T-Max Market, though, or J-Max Market?
It's J-Max Market. It was used to be a flea market, and another group came in, and they're pushing hard to get it back to the status it used to be. So now what we're going to do is we're going to change that inside of that into an IKEA.
Oh, okay.
You
now where is
IKEA?
It? Yeah, of course.
Hiawassee and Silver Star. Hiawassee and Silver Star.
Are you kidding me? That's like maybe 10 minutes. I'm on White Road and Good Homes Road.
I live off of Good Homes Road. I go to Fort Wayne every morning off of Good Homes Road.
Wow, this is just
right
amazing.
By the
okay. Right by the public,
yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes,
in the
ma'am.
Public class.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay,
I have
Anthony.
No problems. Let's not let time pass us. Let's move forward. We have a full office space, and we're clearing all that out. All of that out and bringing in African art, working with the Bronze Kingdom.
Okay.
So all of our showcases like.
Do you know Jonathan Blount?
Yes, I was with him on Sunday. Mr. Jonathan. Magazine
oh
owner. Yes. I was with him on Sunday on our launch for the carnival.
Okay. You know, I was going to say you and Jonathan need to get together because he has had such a – he was wanting to buy my tiny house a couple of years ago, and we worked together trying to find a location, but there was so much red tape in Orlando that we couldn't
yes,
work out of – So I'm
trust
glad
me,
you and Johnny.
I know Dr. Jonathan. I know Johnny.
Okay, so we're gonna get a team going because Jonathan is definitely one of doing and getting things done.
See, that's the purpose, Doctor, of you having this broadcast. That's the purpose of uniting people that is close together. Now, people are
right.
All over the world on this call. And you got people that's 10 minutes away and uniting. It's time to go. It's time to meet. It's time
yeah.
to go. It's time. We have the resources in our hand. The difference before trying to get the resources, trying to get the banks to do what they do, what they're supposed to do. No, it changes now. We are the bank. We can
yeah.
provide all
yeah.
the resources, everything, right now.
That's
we
right.
have the steel
that's
framing
right.
machines. We have everything to provide real houses. Why are you renting when you can own? Why
yeah,
are you suffering
that's true.
When you can own?
So
oh, you don't
I
know my story.
I want to ask you about the challenges in Orlando as far as building or providing small houses in Orlando or on the land? Are you finding you have to go outside of Orlando? What challenges have you run up in Orlando for doing this project?
The good part about it is I work with Commissioner Hill. She's doing container
mm-hmm.
houses. Commissioner Siplin, Mev Siplin. The good part about it is because I've been in this world for so long working with Dr. Sharpton, Kamala Harris knows me as Destiny, plain and simple. That's the guy to get things done. That's what we need. Good point to me. Hey, tell him. And it's before she became vice president. Okay. So the good part about what's happening in Orlando right now is that you don't need a permit to put an 800-square-foot ADU dwelling in the backyard.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So all the children that come home, Orlando has it. If you got land in the back and it fits, go ahead and do it so the kids don't have to stay
right.
in the house. That's one of that combative
right.
roles. That's under Commissioner Hill. It's actually statewide. But in Miami-Dade and in Orlando, those are the two main places I work out of. They are, you can put houses in that backyard. Like I have twins.
Really?
I have twins as grandchildren, uh-huh. right? That just came back to move home with me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Am I happy or am I sad? I'm happy because I get to deal with them every day, right?
That's right.
But I'm mad because they busted my room and my tub is the biggest one, so they want to take a bath in my tub when I'm sleeping, right? deal with that. That's not that small things, you know. Jumping on me when I'm just relaxing, you know. Papa, open this up. No, you open this up, you know. Mad about that.
Yeah.
But I'm still grateful. But what if I had a place in my backyard, which we're working on right now to make it happen?
Yeah.
I'm still there. LA? I'm still close.
Yeah, L.A.'s been looking for land to do this project, and I think maybe we can make it a little closer, L.A., than the place where my friend bought the house.
We have more than enough land at the church. We have more than enough land. And behind it is a governmental building that has nothing but youth programs. You can find me on Facebook by my phone number, Destiny Mindset Development, or my phone number, 410-970-3031. 410-970-3031.
Well, I'm going to plan to meet up with you today so we can connect. And, boy, I got to call Jonathan and say, well, how come you didn't call me, Jonathan? Tell me you met Anthony.
Tell him Destiny Container Houses. He's going to be like, oh, man, I know that man. He's persistent.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You've never met a more persistent person.
Let's go. We can do it.
The funny thing is we're all grandparents, so we have this love for the next generation to see something beautiful develop, that a new paradigm. As grandparents, it's our job to show our grandchildren a new paradigm of housing and way of living.
That's what we're doing right now. That's my only goal. That's my only goal.
So they might get on our nerves. We know what our assignment is. We just love them anyway.
And they us. They are us. I have twins. Yeah. So I have a good side of twin of me and a bad twin. And they both relate to me. I don't know which one to love the most today.
They're all good. They're all good because they have personalities that are going to teach us something about patience and so much more.
Exactly. 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 So we have it. Right behind it is a sports arena that they're not using. We have land that we can use for sports right here in Orlando right now. They're not utilizing it at all.
Awesome.
We are ready to go on the same land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So said it's Hiawassee and what street? Silver Star?
Hiawassee and Silver Star. That's the JMAX.
Okay.
One block down is our location.
Okay.
The Silver Star with the white church, with the white cross.
Oh my goodness.
That's what we're clearing
out
right now. That big white cross.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's where I'll be at. I'll be there and my office.
Okay, well, I'm going to check you out this afternoon to see the 12 o'clock. I'll probably be there too.
No problem. You have my cell number. Please give me a call.
Yeah.
I'm either between there and there.
All right. Well, thanks, L.A., for bringing all this together.
No, he's coming, too.
Okay. No, I won't be there today. I can't make it today, but I won't be there today. I'll make it eventually.
Okay. I have the Miami Open on Thursday. I have the Miami Open on Thursday, so I'll be in Miami tomorrow and Thursday, Friday, and then coming right back.
No,
I'll be in Miami because of the Miami Open.
Miami, Dade County, you got there's more rules and regulations down there. So how are you doing something in Alvin County?
Our structure is three times stronger than any wood build.
Uh-huh.
Our structure is made to withstand it. That's why we're over the standards that any county. The reason why they don't want to mess with us because we can build it cheaper. And working with the training program workforce, we're training people how to do it. So that brings our cost of our building down three times even more because we're working with workforce to provide the resources to train people how to build and cut. And that's a federal program, no matter where you at.
Okay. Are you familiar with Smaltimore?
Smaltimore?
Yeah, I just discovered him like Sunday. Smaltimore, this lady up in Baltimore, she builds micro houses, which is smaller than tiny houses on wheels, in Baltimore.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we have a division in Baltimore, too, but not smaller.
Yeah, but Baltimore's so regulated, man. I stopped buying up there years ago.
Come on, man. No, sir. I'm born and raised in Baltimore. I learned my hustle from Baltimore. Baltimore has row houses. They're knocking down row houses and building up other houses. Right?
What are they building in
there?
There's a
lot of empty lots. Huh?
No, yeah. Baltimore's full of empty lots, and they got at least, 15,000 vacant buildings? Yeah.
Yes. Sir. Remember, Baltimore was built to build D.C. Baltimore is where the slaves came. They lived there and then traveled to D.C. to work.
Well, that explains Baltimore then.
That's why Baltimore is number of row houses. Row houses because they were just packing people in so they can go to work to D.C. to build the capital, and then they left here like Baltimore. So outside of Baltimore, Inner Harbor, you have nothing. They only built the Inner Harbor. And
yeah,
the
they did
project.
That. Yeah, they did that on the Schaefer.
Way before Schaefer.
Didn't they knock those projects down? The high rise projects in Baltimore?
Oh yeah, that's the Wire. The Wire explains all of that. It was too many killings going on in there. They had to. I mean. You know, I've been in those towers, many of projects, high towers. It's like living in New York. It's a normal day. It's a normal thing being in the towers. You got people on the first floor, second floor, 84th floor, third floor. You know, it that's what it is.
Right.
Families live together in high rises.
Right.
That's just one thing. To how they killed our mind, our parents' mind, living in those places, man. It was a jail cell. It was bad in living in the projects. It was bad living in the projects. So I get mad at the individuals living in Orlando with room to breathe, and you don't have to go upstairs. You don't have to look around the corner, every corner going up the stairs because the elevators broke down. And they complaining about life. This is life. This is good. You can live on the water.
Well, isn't there, I mean, I don't know, but Viola would know. Is it, and you probably know too, do they have tents, any kind of tent community up there in Orlando?
Yeah, of course. Every city you go to, homeless work together. Homeless work together. Actually, the park I'm sitting at right now, looking at the water, before I go to work, you know, my first office of the day, there's a homeless community right here. They all some of them go to work, come back. Some of them chill, make things work. Yeah, but they all good peoples. They all want better. They made bad decisions, some decisions is final. Brain is gone, you know?
Right.
But when you talk to them, they really want more. Some of them is happy. Don't want no house. Don't want no girl. Don't want nothing. You know, we want to work with them, but we also want to work with the people that just lost out suddenly and gave up. But you still have your brains. You can still go to work. I'm going to move you out of Orlando and move you to Maryland, to 14 acres over there, or Georgia, 127 acres of land, or Fort Meade, 42 acres of land. We have people with land.
Fort Meade, Maryland. You talking about
Fort Meade, Maryland? Florida. Fort Meade, Florida.
Oh, okay.
Right around the corner. Right around the corner. We have the solutions, yeah, man.
Well, I was impressed. Like, so you got 3 acres in Orange County, so. And that's a major population center, Orange County.
Man, we're on a major highway. Rich and broke ride through our location. They're going to see our containers, models, wide rent signs all up and down the street. They're going to come and buy. All the work being done on it is individuals that want solutions, that want help.
Wide rent. Right? I like
some people going to stay here and work. Some people going to stay here and work in Orlando. Some people going to leave Orlando because they got to get away. Because
right,
this is all they know.
With these shipping container homes, I mean, now, will you be selling them to people where they own it, or what?
The goal is this. Individuals that come work with us, every single semester they pass, they get a container, 40-foot high cube container, that 8x40.
Okay.
They own it themselves. That's their stock, along with getting paid.
Okay.
So if they want to put their stock and a piece of land in Georgia or Orlando or Miami, they can do whatever they want to do. They can do whatever they want to do with that stock. And then you got to remember this, is that we're building those containers. Right now, at this moment, I'm buying the containers, okay?
Uh-huh.
It's costing me a lot of money to buy the containers because of everything that's going on. It grew the last 3 years since COVID. But work with Mr. Cleve Collins.
Prior to COVID, containers were going for, depending on the size, what, about $2,000 or $3,000?
$1,200 all day with 40-footers.
Okay.
$1,200 all day. I hate I don't have the footage. And it grew over
time. Do you do smaller container homes?
We can do whatever we need to do. The goal is to train people how to build as architects and engineers, how to make the bid fold up in the ceiling. So when you wake up in the morning, you press a button, that bid folds up. Now, this is your workplace to work from. We want to train people. So the people that's working on our field, architects, the engineers, all interns. That's the focus. Training people, providing real solutions.
That's what it was. Now, when you set these containers up, will they be on the grid or off?
No, it's 100%. Man, you know we got to do solar. You had the solar plan today on the screen. You think I'm not going to talk about solar? We sell solar right now. My bread and butter right now is solar and public adjusting, not containers. My bread and butter is selling solar and public adjusting if you got damage in your house.
Okay.
Of course, everything off the grid. Everything, disposal, water, everything, all green material.
Okay, well, that's where the ball's going anyway.
That's where we got to go. The food we eat it comes from these containers. New technology, green light, red light. The difference between green light and red light is so big. But that grows our food that we eat. You eating good, you say, I got a tomato, I went and brought a tomato, right?
Uh-huh.
That looks good, it's tasty, tastes like a tomato and everything. How was it made? What fertilizer did they put on there to keep the bugs off? What fertilizer in the chicken are they putting in there to make them reproduce so much to keep a Kentucky Fried Chicken open this long? Right?
Yeah.
Why didn't they do that for the fish market? Oh, they did, but not really. For avid fishermen, back in the day, you can go out there and catch so many fish. Now you can't. You catch 2, 3, 4, you good. What are we putting in there? Everything that we're doing and we're talking about, the grow farm comes in a container, big brother. Miss Regina Hill just did a conference with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just did a conference with it. If you didn't see it, just go to my Facebook. That's the Mindset Developments. Everything is right there, brother. We are our hold up. Oh, I don't like the way this guy talks. I don't like this. I don't like that. We are our biggest hold up. All we got to do is launch. I'm going to put my phone on mute, sir.
No. I'm taking notes.
I mean, if we really look at it, it's been my vision for many years. And you know what special happened to me this morning when I came to my office on the water was a lady that talked crazy. She had a real high pitch like Missy Elliott. Not Missy Elliott. Real hard. But she sung a song called Anyway by Dion. Anyone. It's called Anyone. Google it. By Dion. And the words was plain and simple because I'm a musician also. It was, I talked to my piano and it didn't hear me. I talked to my guitar and it didn't hear me. I sound crazy when I sing. I'm crazy for when I pray, but I keep on praying. Is there anyone out there listening to me? If you go to my Facebook right now, you'll see it. I just posted it this morning. If we can work
together,
on
your
brother,
website. I'm on your website right now, Why Rent. Yeah, I see the store and everything.
That's my website. I was talking about Facebook, like how you did today.
Oh.
That was smooth. Yeah,
you know,
Facebook.
I saw that too. I went on that first.
Definitely, yeah. Those lyrics is so powerful to individuals, and I'm changing it a little bit. Forgive me. But those lyrics are so powerful, right? Because as entrepreneurs and visionaries, I'm only a visionary. I am only a visionary. But who do we have to talk to? Why am I going on the radio with thousands of people that's going to hear my story and hear me cry and break down right now? When if we could just work together. Your whole program is about families working together. The words is this, and if I could, sir, please. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I could play it or not. I hit the YouTube, and the words left off.
You can do that.
It says, I'm on Destiny Mindset Development on Facebook. Destiny Mindset Development. And I'm going to share it. I'm going to share it again so it's on the top. Anyone, please send me anyone. Lord, is there anyone? I need someone just to listen. And definitely not the words I wanted to say, but if they listen, we can work together to build everything that we need to do to stop the violence in our communities. Provide real job training. We know the individuals that have problems when they're in kindergarten. Leave no one behind. Allow those children to keep moving forward through the system without knowing how to read. Leave no one behind. So they made it all the way through the 12th grade just by showing up and don't know how to read. But that mental was not there. No one to listen to. If we give a platform for these young brothers and sisters that's going through hell right now, while we're on this conference call, they're going through hell right now. Nobody to talk to. We got to give them that platform. They graduated from foster care, maybe 18 years old, don't know where to go. Give them this. Put them on this land, and we build that land. Individuals coming from jail. We want them 24 hours a day. You can have a place, and you can come and talk. And not just talk, but have benefits behind it. Because every point that you come to these meetings goes to you owning your own container house.
You know what? I just was on your Facebook page and scrolled down and saw one of those houses that you were talking about. Pretty impressive. Are you on Clubhouse as well? You on Clubhouse?
I'm on Clubhouse, but I'm not really. I had to sign into this program here today. I'm not really on Clubhouse, but I am on Clubhouse. Whitfield, same email and everything, phone number.
Okay.
We have everything that we need to do.
We'll be having, well, man, you got the 3 hours in Orange, after 3 hours, 3 acres in Orange County, so that's plenty of room.
Man,
that's
how about we got
42
acres in Fort Meade.
Okay.
Model location is the J-Max, HYC and Silver Star. I'm a manufacturer here, right? And moving a half a mile up the road, the first light, they pulling in. The first light, they pulling in, dropping them off. Models all day. We utilize the money from that, investors coming in, to build everywhere else. We can do it. We don't have to go to the bank. We be our own bank. Because you got to remember, with Mr. Chris Collins' machinery alone to build anything that we need to build.
Right.
And now we're talking about 3D printing with bricks. So if we need to do bricks, we can do bricks. Every situation is different. So it's just not containers. Every situation is different. Training people how to do the architecturals. It's a win-win because now we can change it up. But it's our young brothers and sisters that is learning how to do it. Coding. Oh, man, you know how big coding is right now in those other schools? Not in our schools, but in other schools? We need to train. We got to train. Mass production is the key. This location here at the J-Max and the Silver Star will start us off to be the mass production. But we have other land that's ready to go right away. Other partners. I haven't launched yet. I'm patient. I think God blessed me with too much patience. But I'm on it. I'll be clearing out the land today at Silver Star.
Patience is a virtue.
Patience is a pain also.
Yeah, it can be, but, you know, we waited. We had our fence blown down, part of a fence blown down around my tiny house or my house during the hurricane last week, and my son just procrastinated. I said, why don't you fix the fence? Why don't you fix the fence? And do you know we came home Sunday after a weekend in Tampa, and the fence was fixed. Because the neighbor across next door said it was his problem, not ours. I was like, whoa. And that was patience. I call it procrastination, but even procrastinating. My son is a master procrastinator, but he just said, no, I'm away. No, I'm away. And we come home and the whole the fence is all fixed. We didn't have to pay any money because we didn't know whose fence it was because, you know, it's on one side or the other. We didn't know. But the fence got picked because we protested or waited. We had patience.
That's the key. That's just God. That's just God. That's just life.
It is.
Speaking life.
Yeah.
You know, have faith.
Yeah.
But it hurts, though. Those are conversations that we really need to have with visionaries.
Yeah.
That's been pushing and pushing, and then the people that you think supposed to help you turn a blind eye away from you, right? That
right.
hurts. As a visionary, we don't show that it hurts. We just keep it moving, right?
Right.
It hurts. Who do we talk to? Who do you talk to, sister? Yourself,
I talk
right?
to my Heavenly Father. I talk to my Heavenly Father and my angels. All day long. I talk to angels.
All day long. But it'd be good to have a group of young brothers and sisters that speak in the same thing that you could talk to, wouldn't it?
Well, it's slow.
That's what we
got
to have.
Yeah,
that's what we
got to
have. That's what we got to have. Like-minded individuals, like us on this call right now. Like-minded individuals, they're saying, okay, we have the solutions. You have a solution.
Yeah.
You have your own nonprofit. You know what you need to do. How can I help you do that? While I'm helping you do that, you're helping us do this. And then you got another person that's doing this that can help everything. That has everything that need to do with everything. But it's all centrally controlled. Malcolm X and Dr. King got killed, plain and simple, because they started talking about working together, economic development. It wasn't no boycott. It wasn't.
Okay,
if
so
they
the
can
torch
keep us from working together.
Yeah, they passed the torch on to our generation, and now it's time for us to do it.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right, well, I'll see you soon. I'll see you pretty soon.
Sound like a plan.
All right. All right, Chris, you still in?
Sound like a plan.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well.
Hey, Dr. Chris.
We're at the two-hour mark, so
great hearing all of you.
We picked up another person to add. I have a thing. I'm not going to play it today. Called Nine Friends. So I guess you're one of the nine people I need. I didn't know him 24 hours ago. Yeah, I'm glad you got something in Orange County. That's close. I mean, you know. Particularly that much land. Now, how far is it in Orlando proper or outside of Orlando?
We're in Orlando.
Okay.
2620 North Hiawassee Highway, Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, that's impressive.
32818. Gary Siplin is the commissioner.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, on that note, Chris, you got any closing comments for today? We're going to wrap it up for today. We'll be back tomorrow, though. Hey, now we missed, well, it was Miss Hershey, was it? It was somebody else that was supposed to call him. But anyway, we'll catch him on another day. Chris, you there? Oh, he might step
in. Yes, I'm here.
Yeah. So was it Miss Hershey that was supposed to call in?
It was a great show, so you guys are going to meet up today. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes, I'm here. I'm going to be here. I'm here.
All right, brother.
All right. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Anthony, you're welcome to come back through tomorrow. Because what we're doing is we're working. Matter of fact, Chris, by December, what's the goal that we have for this year?
We're on target to reach it.
I think it's to build 100 houses in a day.
We're on target to do it. You
right.
know, remember, we got houses that come in flat packs. They come in as
right.
box. You know what I mean?
Yep, you talk.
We have houses sitting on the
Yeah, that's like IKEA style flat packet.
Yes, sir. We have it. We
right.
just want to launch. And
all
I'm
right.
patient enough to wait until the right team members and everything is there to make it work.
All right, I'm going to wrap it up for today. I'll give you a call this afternoon, Anthony. Good meeting you online. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, everyone.